بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله، ولو آمن أهل الكتاب لكان خيرا لهم، منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: والذي نفسي بيده لتأمرن بالمعروف ولتنهون عن المنكر، أو ليوشكن الله أن يبعث عليكم إقابا منه ثم تدعونه فلا يستجاب لكم. وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. Respected elders, brothers, and young friends, from the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mankind, human being, enjoy being the greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, whatever exists in this universe, mankind is the greatest creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surateen mentioned, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ. Indeed, we have created man on the best stature. So man has been given this lofty status and exalted position over all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And man enjoys this rank of being the greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from among mankind, the greatest people to have been created, to have come on this earth, are the prophets. The Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam are from the creation of humans, and from the human beings, the greatest that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent onto this earth. And from among the prophets, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the greatest. Allah says in the Quran, تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْدٍ. That these are the prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some of whom have been given virtue and merit over the other prophets. Hazrat Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in a hadith reported in Jami' al-Tirmidhi, says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَنَا سَيِّدُ وُلْدِ آدَمْ وَلَا فَخْرًا. But I am the leader of the children of Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, and there is no pride in this. وَبَيَّدِي لِوَاءُ الْحَمْدِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا فَخْرًا. And on the day of judgment, the banner, the flag of hamd and praises for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall be in my hand. وَمَا مِن نَبِيٍّ يَوْمَئِذٍ آدَمُ فَمَن سِوَاهُ إِلَّا تَحْتَ لِوَاءِ. But there is no prophet, no messenger that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent onto this earth, but on the day of judgment he shall be behind me. I shall be the one bearing this flag of hamd. And each and every prophet from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam till Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam shall be my followers and shall be behind me. وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ مَن تَنْشَقُّ عَنْهُ الْأَرْضُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا فَخْرَ. And I am the one from whom shall begin the resurrection, and I shall be the first one to be raised from my grave and brought into the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is no pride in this. So we see from this hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from all the prophets, has been given this rank and this status of being the greatest prophet and the greatest messenger. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, enjoying such a status And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the greatest messenger and Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this has also given us this privilege and this honor of being the greatest nation and the greatest people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنَهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. That you are the best of people, the best of nations that have been brought forth for mankind. تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنَهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. You enjoin good and you forbid evil. وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. And you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, in this verse of the Quran, mentioned two salient qualities and virtues of the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, due to which they have been given this rank of being the greatest nation and the greatest people. What are these two qualities? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you are the best of people that have been brought forward for mankind, because you enjoin good and you forbid evil. You always call people towards goodness and you forbid evil. For this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us the greatest nation ever to come on this earth. Adam alayhi salatu wa salam and the followers that were following him, we enjoy a higher status than them. Hazrat Hud alayhi salatu wa salam and the people that were following him, we have been given a higher rank and status than them. The people that followed Nuh, the people that followed Musa, the people that followed Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, from all the nations and all people that ever came onto this earth, the Ummah and the people of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have been given the most highest rank and a lofty status. And this is due to this fact that they possess these two qualities, that they always enjoy good and they forbid evil. So if a person in his life does not have these two qualities of enjoying good and forbidding evil, then he is not worthy of being called or being given this title of being from the greatest nation. So the reason why we enjoy such a lofty status is solely and only because of us having these two qualities. So the one who does not possess the quality of enjoying good and forbidding evil, then he is not worthy of being called the best of people. In the present age that we live in, there is a stereotypical view about Muslims and Islam that the Muslims do not have any sort of dignity or honor or any rights that they respect. They are barbaric, they torture, or they do not have concern for human beings. Whereas this completely contradicts the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the media in this present age that we live in try to portray Islam as the worst of people and the Muslims are the worst of people. Yet Allah is saying that the Muslims are the best of people, and the Muslims are the ones who are worthy of being called the best of people and the best of nations. The reason being that they enjoy good and they forbid evil. So this characteristic, this feature of enjoying good, forbidding evil, it is a requisite that each and every believer should have inside him. That when he sees something wrong, when he sees a person who is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he should feel that this person should not be doing this. This person should not be disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, مَنْ رَآ مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِئْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِئْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ وَذَلِكَ أَدَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. When one of you sees a person disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then first of all he should use the power that Allah has given him to stop that person. If he is a child, then you try and stop him. If he is your son, your daughter, you try and stop them from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if that is not possible due to the fear that a person may have from the one who is disobeying Allah, then we should speak to that person and tell him that what you are doing is wrong. You mustn't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if that is impossible as well, if a person is not capable of speaking and encouraging a person to come towards right and leaving evil, then he should feel in his heart that what this person is doing is wrong. And he should feel that this person shouldn't be disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he should feel in his heart that if only this person is to understand and come towards right. And this is the weakest point of Iman that a person should have. That when he sees something wrong, He feels in his heart that this disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should not be taking place. If a believer does not even have this in his heart, then one can conclude for himself that what is the state of our iman? If you do not feel, when we see something wrong taking place, that this is a wrong, if you do not feel that this is wrong, then what is the condition of our iman? If the weakest point the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said is that one should feel in his heart that what this person is doing, the manner in which he is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he should not be doing this. Hazrat Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, in another hadith, he states that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَتَأْمُرُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلَتَنْهَوُنَّ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, that by that being in whose hands lies my soul, he should definitely enjoin good and forbid evil. أَوْ لَيُوشَكَنَّ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَبْعَثَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِقَابًا مِّنْهُ ثُمَّ تَدْعُونَهُ فَلَا يُسْتَجَابُ لَكُمْ, or it may be that you will call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a need of yours, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to the majority of the people disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will cause the punishment to descend from the heavens. And when you will pray and call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your prayer and your call will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the consequences of not calling a person towards good and not enjoining good and not forbidding evil will lead a person towards. But if he does not call a person towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and towards leaving the disobedience of Allah, then when punishment of Allah will come, then it will take in its toll each and every person, that person who is religious, that person who is abiding by the commands of Allah, as well as that person who is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The punishment of Allah will not differentiate between the good and the bad people. When it will come, it will take everyone in its toll. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he throughout his lifetime tried his utmost in encouraging people towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing in the oneness of Allah, accepting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one and only deity, and accepting each and every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in all aspects of his life, while he was talking, while through his actions, he tried to propagate and preach Islam and encourage people towards believing in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a need of this time as well, that if a person cannot verbally propagate, preach Islam, then he should ensure that through his action, through what he says to the people, it is not a means of deterring others from coming to the fold of Islam, but it is a means of encouraging people, and it is a means of inviting people towards Islam. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were many hypocrites who from the outside would show that they are believers, but in the inside they had hidden their true faith. They did not believe in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And through this, they caused much grief and much harm to Islam and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from among them, there is a leader by the name of Abdullah bin Ubayy ibn Salul. Many of you may have heard of him, who was regarded as the Ra's al-Munafiqeen, the leader of the Munafiqeen and the leader of the hypocrites. It comes in the hadith reported by Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu in the Bukhari and Muslim, that when Abdullah bin Ubayy ibn Salul died, his son, who was a true believer, Abdullah, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said to the Prophet of Allah, that O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I desire that you give me your shawl, and I enshroud my father in your shawl, and he is buried in your shawl. Abdullah, who is a true believer, he is requesting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the companions knew that Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul, the manner in which he has harmed Islam, he desecrated the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, harmed Islam. Still the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he takes off his shawl and he gives it to Abdullah and says, inshallah your father in this shawl of mine. He again requests the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I desire that you lead the prayer and you perform the prayer on my father. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at that moment, again he accepts this request. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says to the Prophet of Allah, that O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you very well know that this person is a disbeliever. He did not believe in you, he did not believe in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Allah. Yet you're going to need the prayer. But look at the mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Umar, إِنَّمَا خَيَّرَنِ اللَّهِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me a choice. Allah had mentioned in the Quran, استغفر لهم أو لم تستغفر لهم إن تستغفر لهم سبعين مرة فلن يغفر الله لهم, that if you were to seek forgiveness for the hypocrites, even if you were to seek forgiveness 70 times, still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive these people because of the harm that they have caused you in Islam. Still the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, أزيده على السبعين, that I shall increase 70, because Allah has only mentioned the number 70, still I shall increase this and I shall perform salah upon him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam completes the salah, and as soon as he finishes, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam comes with a revelation, saying to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا تصلي على أحد منهم مات أبدا ولا تقم على قبره إنهم كفروا بالله ورسوله وماتوا وهم فاسقون, that do not ever perform salah upon such people who died disbelieving in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor stand on their grave. So the commentators mentioned that what was the reason behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam undergoing such task in performing salah over Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul, whereas he knew for a fact that this person was a disbeliever. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala and narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he goes forward to perform the salah, he says that I hope that when I perform salah upon this person, thousands of these people seeing this action of mine will come into the fold of Islam. So it is said that from the Khazraj, thousands of people came into the fold of Islam just because of this action of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, performing salah upon a person who was known to be a hypocrite. His own people knew that he was a hypocrite. He did not believe in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Still, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed salah. So this was the da'wah, this was the preaching of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Through his actions, he proved to the people that Islam is a true religion, and Islam is the only religion that can guarantee peace and tranquility on the surface of this earth. Today we hear people claiming that the Muslims are barbaric, the Muslims have no concern for the rights of females, for children, for the poor and the weak. But it is Islam that has given rights to each and every people. But it is due to us not studying the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not studying Islam in its pristine purity, that we fail to answer to these people. We fail to answer because our action, the manner in which we should behave to them, that in itself should be a most effective tool in preaching. They should, as soon as seeing our actions, know that this is in reality Islam, and through this they should come into the fold of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu in tansurullahu yansurkum wa yuthabbit aqdamakum, that O you who believe, assist and aid Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah shall aid you. What, we do not need to aid Allah. Allah is the all-powerful, almighty. So what is this meaning, that assist Allah? Assist Allah by way of preaching, calling people towards Allah, calling people towards the right path, towards Islam, towards ultimate salvation and success of the hereafter. And this can only be done if we first of all change our lives. And after changing our lives, when people will see how we practice Islam, that will give a true message of Islam to the media, to the people that we interact with. Today, unfortunately, whatever the media says about Islam, because practically we do not live up to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they cannot see what is right and wrong. They can only take whatever they see with their own eyes. But if today the Muslim world were to take this resolution, and if each and every individual was to make this firm resolution that I shall ensure that I practice each and every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then once again we shall see, once again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show Islam, and once again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make Islam flourish, and people will come into the fold of Islam in large numbers. A companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the name of Haram ibn Milhan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was very well versed in the Quran, and once a group of people came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam requesting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to send some qurra, those who are well versed in the recitation of the Quran, to their tribe so that they can teach them the recitation of the Quran. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends and dispatches a few companions, and from them was Haram ibn Milhan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So in the hadith it comes that these people that have requested for these qurra to come down, they were in reality non-believers, and they wanted to harm the Prophet ﷺ. They wanted to kill these great readers of the Qur'an. So Haram ibn Milhan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when a battle takes place between these people, then Haram ibn Milhan, someone shoots a spear towards him, and as soon as the spear penetrates to him, he says, that I have become successful. I have become successful by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the person who had targeted him and threw the spear at him, his name was Jabbar ibn Sulami. As soon as he sees that the spear penetrates to this person and he's dying, and at this last moment of his life, he does not say anything except "Fustu wa Rabbil Ka'ba," that I have become successful by Allah. He's amazed by this speech of his. So he inquires from the people that what is this success that this person has attained? I must know. And after being informed that he has been given success by way of attaining paradise in the hereafter, because he passed away in this world believing in Allah, and that is the ultimate success. فَمَنْ زُحْزِهَا أَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ, that the one who is saved from the fire of hell and given entry into paradise, that is a true success. So this person, Jabbar ibn Sulami, immediately he comes into the fold of Islam. So these people, whatever they said, whatever they did, it was always a means of propagating, preaching the true message of Islam. Many of us may have heard of the Tatars, the rulers of Mongolia, and in the third 300 years of Hijrah, they were in power and in rule, and many Muslims were attacked by these people, and they had such hatred for Islam that when they would see a Muslim, they would want to kill him immediately. So it is said that the reason why these people of Mongolia came into the fold of Islam was because of one person by the name of Jamaluddin, who was a scholar, and once while traveling he ended up in a forest where the king at the time, or the prince at the time, Taimur Khalk, the prince of the Tatars, he was hunting. So when this scholar finds himself in this forest, this prince, he captures him. And after capturing him, he finds out that this person is from Persia, and he's a scholar, and he's a Muslim. So he makes a remark, saying to him that these dogs that I have with me for hunting, they are far better than you. They are far better than you. So Jamaluddin, rahmatullahi alayhi, he says to him that they are not better than me. If Allah had not blessed me with iman and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then these dogs were better than me. But because Allah has given me iman, my faith in Allah has made me from the greatest of people. Therefore I am better than this dog of yours. Look at this effect of this word that had upon this person. He asks him, so what is this? What is this iman that you're talking about, which makes you better than my dog? So he explains to him about Islam. So Taimur Khalk, who is a prince at the time, says to him that at the moment I'm only a prince. When I become king, you must come to me, and you must once again remind me of this incident, and I shall ensure that all my people, they come into the fold of Islam. So it is said that Jamaluddin, he does not live to see this day, but upon the last moments of his life, he requests his son, Rashiduddin, that remember, there is this king or a prince by the name of Taimur Khalk. One day he's going to be crowned the king. When he is made king, you must go to him and remind him of this incident. So upon the death of Jamaluddin, Rashiduddin, he looks for a moment to go to this prince, and when he finds out that he has been crowned the king, he goes to him and eventually reminds him of that incident. And due to this, all of the people of Mongolia came into the fold of Islam. So this is how the people in the past preached Islam. There was no need to call out aloud and have marches or have banners wherein one has to prove that Islam is a true religion. There was no need for that. All that they had to do was practice. And through their practicing, people knew and they understood that this is Islam. And through that, they came into the fold of Islam. So this is what the world needs from the Muslims now as well. It is no use calling out aloud, shouting, and trying to prove what Islam is. It is said, actions are louder than words. Actions speak louder than words. So no matter how loud we shout, how much we call out, if our actions contradict what we do, then this will not convince people that Islam is a true religion of Allah. So it is each and every one of our duty that we study Islam, look into the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, see how he preached Islam to the people, and thereafter practice whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants of us. And if you were to practice, we shall see once again that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives Islam the position that it should be given, and Islam once again flourishes in the world. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to act upon what has been said. And may Allah make us from those who invite people towards good and forbid evil. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those whose actions are such that after seeing our actions, people come into the fold of Islam.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر ونهى عن المنكر فأمر بالمعروف كل في حدود كل في حد كل في حدود في حدود مقدرته واختصاص ودائرة اختصاصه فإنه من عذاب الله وغضبه في الدنيا والآخرة. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولو آمن أهل الكتاب لكان خيرا لهم منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون. بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم. أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد ان سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى اله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. اما بعد فيا ايها الاخوان وحيد الله فان التوحيد احسن الطاعات واتقوا الله فان التقوى ملاذ الحسنات وعليكم بالسنه فان السنه تهدي الى الاطاعه ومن اطاع الله ورسوله فقد رشد واهتدى واياكم بالبدعه فان البدعه تهدي الى المعصيه ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل وضل. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من صلى علي واحده صلى الله عليه بها عشره. وقال تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي من أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فبغضي أبغضهم ومن آذاهم فقد آذاني ومن آذاني فقد آذى الله ومن آذى الله فيوشك أن يأخذه وخير القرون قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. اللهم انصر من نصر دين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واجعلنا منهم واخذ من نصر دين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا معهم عباد الله رحمكم الله ان الله يامر بالعدل والاحسان وايتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم وذكر الله اكبر والله يعلم ما تسمعون.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قام الصلاة قد قام الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
Find the straight in the road, ensure that the road is intended to be the first, ensure that there is no gaps in between.
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترونها عين اليقين ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم.
الله
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إنه كان توابا.
الله
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.